This is our first time sharing our testimony publicly, so forgive us if we talk fast or faint.
If you want to go and put the first picture up, I thought we'd give you guys a treat with circa 2005. This is college pre-reconciliation, Kaylin and Tim. So I'll get started. I grew up in a small town in Central California with two Christian parents. I attended Christian school and went to church since birth. However, my parents were not living out their faith daily. And looking back, I would consider our church lukewarm. Many things were prioritized higher than faith, such as my parents' successful business, our education, and competitive gymnastics. I accepted Christ in second grade, but never really knew what it meant to need Jesus. I loved him, but life was always easy. That is, until my parents separated my senior year of high school. My parents never sat us down to have a conversation. One day, all my dad's stuff was gone. My world fell apart overnight. I was angry that my dad had abandoned us to pursue happiness elsewhere. I began looking for love from a high school boyfriend, and that relationship became abusive. My mom was still feeding me truth from God's word, but I wasn't really listening. I went off to college and continued down a destructive path, which only led to more hurt and brokenness. During my last semester in college, I met Tim, a Christian guy who played in the worship team at his church. I knew God brought him into my life for a reason. Tim was the first good guy I had dated. We went to church together, but didn't do what the Bible says. However, the years of destructive behaviors turned our relationship into a battleground. We fought about everything. So we did what any wise couple would do. We got married. I was 24 and he was 26. We never had the fairy tale period in our relationship. One of our biggest fights was on our honeymoon. We both wanted things to be different, but we didn't know where to start. We often prayed, talked, had brief periods of reconciliation, but inevitably, we'd find ourselves arguing again. And after only 16 months of marriage, Tim asked me to leave.
I grew up in a Christian household, but I always straddled the fence between Christian and my secular friends. I had a lot of great Christian mentors growing up, but no one really challenged my faith or why I believed what I did. There was no depth. I didn't read the Bible except for a few occasional verses from James. I was always involved in various churches, playing guitar in many worship bands, went to Bible studies, small groups, etc. But we were never challenged in our faith, and no one really experienced any life change. During college, I bought a keg of beer for my neighbors. That night, I didn't go to the party, but someone there got high, drank my beer, drove home on the wrong side of the freeway, and killed two people. This is in California. California was starting a new program for these offenses, and I was number one. And I was told that going to prison was a pretty distinct possibility. After 3 days of misery, I finally turned to God and said, even if I get locked up for the next 10 years, I'll get on my knees and thank you every day for all you've given me. It sounds cliche, but it still kind of chokes me up when I think about it. An overwhelming, dramatic sense of peace. That's not helping.
Don't touch my leg.
Excuse me. Sorry. Back to the script. An overwhelming sense of peace filled me from then on, which even the others noticed. Finally, after working with a lawyer, I turned myself in. I never went to jail, and after some bargaining, settled for two misdemeanors, which were later expunged. I told people at the time, the situation was terrible, but I wouldn't change it for anything because that's what brought me closer to the Lord. This is tougher than I thought. I met Kaylin in my last summer class. It wasn't exactly love at first sight, but we enjoyed spending time together, and we had a lot in common. We both professed to be Christian, placed a high value on working out, and both agreed that we'd never buy a minivan. It's important. However, as Kaylin mentioned, our relationship was tumultuous from the onset. We skipped the honeymoon phase and instead moved right into the constant fighting, yelling, and name-calling. I had never been a part of that kind of relationship or even seen it, but somehow I fell right into it naturally. No one, literally no one, in my circle was speaking truth into my situation. They all said, either poop or get off the pot, or God wants you to be happy. I remember being so desperate for someone to tell me or someone to be honest with me. I felt in my heart that we shouldn't get married And I'm sure everyone else thought that too, but no one spoke up. That was my perspective then. Obviously, God had a much bigger plan for us.
I packed up the majority of what I knew I wanted for an extended stay at my mom's, which was 3 hours from where we were currently living. After 2 weeks, we had one phone call where neither of us really said it, but we agreed it was over. I got the rest of my belongings a few weeks later and started a new life in my hometown. I truly felt like I'd lost everything, and the only thing I had left was God. So I clung to him like never before. I began reading through the Bible. I found encouragement in his word and by listening to praise music. I truly found the joy of the Lord and stopped seeking happiness from the world. I began working through the pain and scars of my parents' separation and the abuse. I knew I had played the biggest role in our failed marriage. I prayed Ezekiel 36, 25, and 26 every day. I had it printed on the dash of my car. It says, "I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." After several months apart, I was in the Bay Area and decided to call Tim just to see if he wanted to meet. That was the beginning of an on and off weekend relationship that lasted 9 months. Every time we spent the weekend together, I would leave encouraged. No fighting, just making good memories together. But Tim would eventually call it off, and I'd be heartbroken. In February of 2011, Tim called after another month-long silence and wanted to meet. I knew something would have to be different this time, so I told him I needed to pray about it. I agreed to meet in a central location so we could talk. I knew God was moving in his heart, but I was afraid. That day, February 12th, 2011, Tim recommitted to me in a park in Tracy, California.
After Caitlin moved down south, I was working on a trading desk at 4 a.m., so I moved into downtown San Francisco, which was a great distraction. I drank quite a bit, but still felt really confused and isolated. As Caitlin mentioned, we still kept in light contact. She did a fantastic job of balancing the line between letting me know that separating was not what she wanted, but that she would still respect any decision I made. I had the divorce papers ready to go, but I couldn't bring myself to file. After roughly 9 months of separation, she told me, "This isn't what I want, but I wouldn't change it for anything because my relationship with God would not be where it is now." That struck a huge chord with me because those were the same words that I said after I got arrested, which I don't think I actually ever told her at the time. I hung up the phone and cried, totally confused and broken. I remember thinking, how can I walk away from a woman like that? I'd be an idiot. Little by little, I started seeing her in a new light. I started respecting this person, the person that she was. I admired how she had taken a situation that she didn't want and used it to grow and improve herself. My heart might have softened during that period, but she is the reason that we are back together now. Of course, this only happened by the grace of God and his spirit working through us. I love what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 73. "When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Amen." For the next year, we started rebuilding our relationship and creating new, healthy habits. We needed time to heal from the scars, to laugh, to learn how to have fun together, and to go on an adventure without worrying about there being some knockdown, drag-out fight. It was really a sweet time and really critical before we moved back in together.
I am truly different. I am changed, thanks only to God's power and grace. I forgave my dad for all the ways he hurt me and shattered my dreams for my future family. I stopped waiting for Tim to be someone else and began loving him just as God made him. We are opposites, but God knew what he was doing. I needed a lighthearted, fun-loving, flexible partner in life because I am organized and type A. I still feel so grateful that he chose me, twice. I used to have no control over the words that came out of my mouth. Now, through the Holy Spirit's work in me, I can stop and hold my tongue. Proverbs 21:23 says, "Those who guard their mouths and tongues keep themselves from calamity." In conflict, I sometimes don't respond at all because I don't want to respond inappropriately. I am still learning to process and communicate lovingly when circumstances are stressful. We now enjoy each other's company and have fun together. I love when we have quiet time in the morning. We start our days reminding ourselves of his truths, and then we can love each other and encourage each other well. Also, I am now ready and willing to look in the mirror and see my sin and repent. Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. I used to focus on pointing out Tim's failures, and now I'm more aware of the areas where I still struggle and need growth and grace. I am so blessed by Tim's walk with the Lord, his desire to read the word, and his commitment to meet with friends who spur him on. I see Tim pursuing God with a new energy. He values reading, serving, and sharing his faith.
There are so many ways that God has changed us and changed me, and the list keeps growing. He is teaching us to extend forgiveness, even in the small things. Our time between an argument and reconciliation is constantly declining. It used to be days, and now it's hours or even minutes. We can now have fun together and actually enjoy each other's company. This almost never happened before, at least without walking on eggshells for the impending blow-up. Most nights, we have great talks on the couch after the kids go to bed. God is showing me what it looks like to value my wife. I am far from perfect, but the idea of cherishing her and admiring her skills and what she brings to this family has really been a game changer. Ephesians 5, verse 25 and 6 say, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her. And then in verse 28, in the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. My individual walk with the Lord has changed immensely. I'm sad to say that this didn't change during our separation, but it's been a constant, steady change since moving from California to Texas. I've been reading a lot through the Old Testament, which has drastically shaped my view on Jesus, who he is, and the gravity of what he did for us. And my view of Jesus is changing how I view the Bible, how I view sharing with others, how I steward my time, and how what I want my relationship with my wife and my kids to look like.
I thought this was our testimony, but God had so much more in store for us. After reconciling, he opened a door for a new opportunity in Dallas. God has a sense of humor. On our wedding day, I told Tim, if you ever leave California, I'll just stand there and wave. I had no desire to leave my family of origin. I had always placed them above him. This was a true test. We prayed for a new job. Tim only applied for one job outside San Francisco, and here we are. We both felt convicted that if he opens the door, we can't say, no, God, not that door. Dallas is now our home. We are truly grateful for the friendships we've made here and how much our faith has continued to grow. We did reengage shortly after moving as a way to strengthen our marriage in the midst of this huge transition. We also didn't want to be isolated in a new place where we hadn't yet made connections. We needed this curriculum and the reminder of who holds it all, because we then began our journey of infertility. This is where I'm going to get choked up. After doctors determined why we were struggling to conceive naturally, we prayed through our decision to do IVF. I don't think we could have survived the struggle, had God not prepared us for it in advance. And now we have an additional part to our testimony. Cue the next picture. We have two sweet boys, Brandon and Beau, and I'm so grateful that I get to be their mom. I waited for Tim, I waited for babies, and I'll probably have to wait again someday. But I trust that God is good, he can do all things, and I will wait on his timing. He is the author of life, he redeems all brokenness. He heals our wounds, and he restores marriages. He did it for us, and he will do it for you. Lean into him.
I've realized a few things about God. One, he's incredibly good. Psalm 34:8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is he who hides in him. Two, God loves and pursues his people with a passion that we'll never fully understand, at least on this earth. Three, God has been redeeming and restoring his people since the beginning of time. So this whole marriage restoration thing is nothing new. Romans 5:10 says, just as one trespass resulted in the condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. If you realize the gravity of what God did for us, you will naturally view others differently, love others differently, and your relationship with your wife will grow. A better marriage is a byproduct of a closer relationship with Christ. Thank you for letting us share our story.
I don't know if you guys caught it. When did reengage show up in their story? Way to go, front row, Joe. After they had reconciled. Isn't that cool? I think so many times we come in Reengage thinking this is going to be the last stop. This workbook is going to save my marriage. This Reengage leader, they're it. They're going to be the one to be our counselor and save our marriage. And you just heard the Garrig story. Reengage showed up after the fact. Because see, what they did on the front end, what brought about healing in their marriage was the three things that we talk about here all the time. It's God's word, it is God's spirit, and it's God's people. And so Tim and Kaylin had to make a decision when things got tough. They could have easily gone down to the court system and let a judge determine their fact, their fate, and ended in divorce. But no, they knew what God had called them to was higher than any court could ever divide. It was covenant made. It was God made. It was divine made. And so for these two to dive in and to yield to God's spirit and to dive in deep to his word, I hope you guys were taking notes. Man, I did. The number one thing that I captured from their story was when Kaylin said, we start our day reminding ourselves of his truth, and then we can love and serve each other well. God's given us everything we need to have a godly marriage, guys. You got it. You're holding it in your hands, and it's not that Reengage workbook. It's God's word. And so we pray tonight that no matter where you are on the spectrum, that you would yield tonight and allow God to do what only God can do, because it will be exceedingly far more than you could ever imagine. Man, for a first-time share, thanks, guys. It was awesome. Hey, if this is your first night with us, in a few moments, we're going to break and go a lot of different directions, and we're going to ask that our newcomers join us down in these first three rows. Bobby and Shari Johns are going to spend some time with you explaining what Reengage is all about and help answer any questions that you may have. If you've already been to the newcomers orientation, we're going to ask that you go to one of our open groups, and those are found at 208, 210, 211, and 212. You can find those classrooms outside these doors. Take a right, go across the skywalk, and you'll see the signage leading to any one of those four rooms. If Spanish is your native tongue, please enter room 207. Tonight, we are pretty giddy because we are celebrating seven groups that have finished. Yeah. If you do the math, that's 84 people whose lives have been changed through this process. And so if you are one of these groups tonight, Lauderdale, Brewster, Dunn, Yabek, Wingfield, Porsche, White, and Turner, we're going to throw a big party for you. We really are. And we're going to give you a chance to share all that God has done throughout this process. And so that celebration will be held. You take the exit these doors, go across the skywalk, go to the tower to the third floor. You'll see a big Reengage banner. And we've got the room ready to host you tonight. For those of you that are continuing to come to Open Group, please know that we're starting more new groups very soon. And so please continue your faithfulness in coming to Open Group each week. Let's go tonight, make it a night of pursuing oneness.